Hello, this is Ben Cole, Associate Editor with SearchCompliance.com. I'm joined today by Jeffrey Ritter, Esquire, the founder and CEO of the Ritter Academy, which offers on-demand learning and model tools to enable professionals to work smarter and at lower cost. Jeffrey also serves on the Georgetown Law School eDiscovery Institute Advisory Board and is a frequent lecturer to professional audiences in records management, information security, and the legal profession. In this podcast, we will discuss organization-wide e-discovery strategy and what your business needs for top-down e-discovery success. Thanks for joining us today, Jeffrey.
My pleasure, of course.
Great. So Jeffrey, what are some of the absolute must-haves in an organizational e-discovery process?
Well, the first thing is the last word you offered, process. E-discovery is nothing that should be done on a reactive emergency call situation. It'd be when the requirement is presented to preserve and produce digital information as evidence, whether it's in an investigation internal to the company, an enforcement action by an agency, or in litigation. The key thing is to know what to do next. Having a procedure that is connected, that is defensible, and having the ability to keep track of what you do. These basic building blocks of good process management apply to e-discovery more than ever because of the high risks that a failure to do the process correctly can compromise either the prosecution or defense of your company's position or the ability to recover the damages that you're entitled to receive. So by focusing on having a procedure and avoiding any surprises and keeping track, documenting the steps that are taken, those are the two key building blocks. You know, with the new rules and the new awareness of how fast we create and destroy digital information, the last thing is by having that process, you can act timely.
Right. So what are some of the factors that contribute to a lack of control, collaboration, and communication in an organization's e-discovery processes?
Yeah, e-discovery requires more and more people to be involved in the simple task of finding and validating the reliability of digital information. One of the factors that contributes to a lack of progress in companies maturing their e-discovery process is what I call the ostrich effect. Many people will simply put their head into the sand and deny there is a problem or deny there is a risk. And as a consequence, when there is a major demand for e-discovery, they're not prepared and the company is at risk. Second factor that contributes is a lack of understanding of the financial impact of the overall cost of finding information. Under generally accepted accounting principles, it's difficult to actually provide financial accounting of the cost of looking for stuff. It's not one of the core business processes that is added up in preparing financial statements. It's possible to add those costs up using management accounting techniques like activity-based cost accounting. But if you don't understand the financial impact, then sometimes you're not motivated to begin to improve. And the final thing that contributes to a lack of control and collaboration is actually the persistence of a 20th century model of command and control. So often in companies, we still see a top-down structure, not unlike military command. But with the information being distributed and the responsibilities for caring for that information being distributed, companies need to find a new way to collaborate and distribute that control responsibility so they can get it right.
So what are some strategies and best practices organizations can implement to overcome those obstacles?
Well, one of the strategies is something that I preach consistently, and that is to use visual process maps to engage the full team. By actually putting a picture on the wall or on a desktop, or by looking at that process visually, it transforms the participation of people in collaborating and building something that everyone ends up on the same page. Second strategy is to gather and design against all of the rules. No, e-discovery is not just controlled by legal rules. Information security, records management, business contracts for cloud services all influence the ability to find and validate information. If you don't know all the rules, then you can't play the game effectively. So that's strategy number two. And finally, when you're actually getting down to all of this, as I mentioned a moment ago, there are ways of calculating the overall cost of the status quo that will show that when you improve e-discovery, you can actually save enormous amounts of money, not in the task of finding information for litigation, but in the everyday task of finding information that is needed to make business decisions. So those three strategies, mapping, gathering the rules, and calculating the all-in costs of not changing things, are very powerful at changing the ability of companies to overcome the obstacles.
What role should IT play in the organization's e-discovery process?
Surveys have indicated that IT plays a surprisingly large role. One study 2 years ago indicated that nearly 75% of chief information officers were making selections of e-discovery technology without consulting the general counsel. Now, I think that's changing, but IT certainly isn't being put to the side in developing an organization's e-discovery process. So the role should be persistent and continuous. It's critical to an organization to have everyone at the table and to include not only IT, but records management, auditors, compliance, finance. By having everyone at the table with IT in planning an organization's e-discovery, you're actually creating a good model for larger and inevitable projects in information governance.
Okay, we have time for one more question. And as the cloud and social media become more prevalent in businesses, how will that trend influence the importance of an evolution of the e-discovery process?
Well, you know, cloud is enabling companies to overcome one of the things that was beginning to force some discipline, which was the cost of storage. With cloud services, including data storage, companies are continuing to create data and underinvest in actually managing the information and the business records. So as cloud continues, it's going to increase the volumes and decline, see a continuing decline in the formality of management. Now, social media in and of itself is going to create a different piece of the challenge. You know, we used to maintain our business records as formal documents, purchase orders, invoices, contracts, bills of lading. Today, they're replaced by information in digital form that may be presented in multiple databases. That same breakdown of formality is represented by social media. We no longer send long pieces of correspondence in the Victorian style, but we communicate with our family and friends and our business partners in 140 character sets. And so that decline in the structured organization of information is simply going to make e-discovery hard. You know, all of this information is sitting out there. It's no longer inside the control of the company. And so I think one of the key pieces that people need to consider in dealing with cloud and social media is to realize that all of these distributed computing techniques and evolutions are contract-based. You need to anticipate in allowing cloud and social media as part of your infrastructure the ability to collect and preserve information from those resources so that you can meet your legal and business obligations to find and validate the information. Overlook that obligation and in the contract, and it's going to be a very expensive time when you then come to the service providers and ask for the data. So more data, less structure, and the importance of building into the contract the ability to get to the evidence that is yours to present. Those are the three pieces of implications there.
Great. That's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jeffrey.
My pleasure, Ben.
And thanks to all the listeners for joining us. For searchcompliance.com, this is Ben Cole.